A state representative wants to make it legal to carry a handgun without a license, and with recent changes in the legislature, it might happen. Correspondent Jared Dill brings us the story.
An Indiana lawmaker is seeking to abolish the state's licensing requirement for carrying a handgun in public. Jim Lucas, a Republican from Seymour, has kicked off the last few legislative sessions by introducing a constitutional carry bill that would allow Hoosiers to carry handguns without a state-issued license to carry. Currently, Hoosiers who want to carry a handgun, concealed or otherwise, must submit an application with the Indiana State Police, pay a fee, and undergo fingerprinting and a background check. The entire process can take up to 90 days and costs about $50 for a four-year permit. The state also offers lifetime permits with a total cost of around $130. The permit does not distinguish between a concealed weapon and one carried in plain view. Around 1 in 10 Hoosiers currently hold a handgun permit. A permit has no effect on the ability to purchase a firearm in the first place, which is regulated by state and federal law. Gun control advocacy groups, including Moms Demand Action, criticized Lucas's bill, saying, quote, "It makes no sense to us that we would dismantle the laws we have right now." Guy Relford is an attorney in the Indianapolis area who specializes in Second Amendment-related cases. He also writes the Gun Guy blog for WIBC. Guy says the general idea behind the concept of constitutional carry is that the Second Amendment covers the right to carry firearms, not just purchase or own them.
Well, to the extent that any state is going to require a licensing system, I think we've got a good system. The question becomes, if there's a pre-existing constitutional right to carry a firearm, why does a law-abiding citizen have to pay a fee and go through an application process and pass an additional background check in order to exercise what's already a pre-existing right? The constitutional right we're talking about is both the right to keep, meaning to possess or own, and to bear, meaning to carry. So if there's a constitutional right to keep and bear arms, why is there a separate licensing requirement? A quote that I coined, that I use in my article, that I agree with wholeheartedly, which is that a license is simply the process by which the state sells back to you a right you already had.
Currently, the question of whether the Second Amendment specifically includes the right to carry a gun in public is not settled. In District of Columbia v. Heller and a subsequent case, the Supreme Court overturned a D.C. law that would have effectively banned private possession of handguns, and the court officially declared private gun ownership protected under the Constitution without a requirement to be a member of a militia. However, the court has not ruled on the right to carry a firearm, and federal district courts are currently divided on the question. Legally speaking, Indiana is free to decide either way. 11 other states have adopted constitutional carry, having abolished their licensing requirements or simply never had them in the first place. In 2003, Alaska was the first to deliberately rescind its licensing requirement, but almost all the other states have passed their laws just in the past few years. There are several potential complications of passing a constitutional carry law. First, many states practice reciprocity and recognize an Indiana carry license as being applicable in those states. Without a license, Indiana residents would have to leave their handguns at home when traveling. Lucas's bill would address that question by keeping the license system intact and allowing Hoosiers to obtain licenses if they wish for the purpose of reciprocity in other states. Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain says the current system works pretty well and provides a valuable shortcut for deputies to check if a citizen is generally law-abiding and entitled to possess a handgun.
The system as it is now works really well in that a background check is conducted on an applicant, and a person that carries a handgun license is never, I can hardly ever think of a law enforcement action where a person who has a handgun license has been a problem for law enforcement. And it also tells a law enforcement officer, you know, the mere possession of that license kind of gives a law enforcement officer, in my view, a bit of peace of mind that this is, in all likelihood, a law-abiding person.
Sheriff Swain says that without the ability to quickly check a permit, deputies who often work alone would have to call in a background check. While waiting for the check, deputies would have to control a potentially dangerous situation involving a firearm, which the sheriff argues is an unnecessary risk. Additionally, Lucas's bill would remove law enforcement's ability to have permits revoked.
We find a person is behaving in a way that they shouldn't. They don't necessarily have to have a mental health issue or an adjudication for that, or they may not have a felony violation to have a handgun permit revoked. But if they are conducting themselves in a chronic drunkenness or drug abuse or just behavior that may cause concern, a law enforcement head can submit a request to the State Police Firearms Board to have a handgun license revoked based on a person's reckless conduct. This law would take that element away from law enforcement as well. When I brought up to one of the legislators about a person was acting in such a unstable manner in my lobby that I just told that person to be on their way, that I wasn't even going to allow them to apply for a handgun license. The response I got was something to the effect I wasn't an MD, and which I found pretty unsettling.
Sheriff Swain said that he presented his arguments to several state legislators, but was unable to get much traction. He also reiterated that the vast majority of police officers have no problem with lawful carrying in Indiana. Lucas's bill may have a shot at making it to the legislative floor for a debate this year. The bill must pass in the Public Policy Committee, and in previous years, the chairman of the committee was not receptive to the idea. However, the committee has a new chairman this year, Ben Smaltz of Auburn, who is a noted supporter of gun rights. Guy Relford says this may make the difference.
Tom Dermody, who was the chairman of the Public Policy Committee the last two times the bill was introduced, did not run for re-election. The current chairman, the new chairman of the Public Policy Committee, is Ben Smaltz, who's a Republican out of Auburn, and he has A plus rating, I believe, with the NRA, and is a known Second Amendment advocate. So that's certainly no guarantee that it'll get a hearing, and the committee chairmen always have to prioritize what bills, you know, they want to hear and go forward. And there are a lot of other things going on in the General Assembly. But there is a new sheriff in town when it comes to the chairman of the Public Policy Committee, which a lot of people look to as being significant on that issue.
House Speaker Brian Bosma has not made any statements specifically endorsing or opposing the legislation. So far, the bill has not advanced in the Public Policy Committee since being introduced at the beginning of January. For WFHB, I'm Jared Dill.
The sponsor of the firearms bill, Representative Jim Lucas of Seymour, has come under fire in recent days for his activity on Facebook, particularly posts that celebrated violence against women. Among other controversial posts, Lucas shared an image of a police officer spraying a woman in the face with what appears to be pepper spray, along with the statement, quote, "participation trophies now in liquid form," unquote. Lucas responded to criticism by apologizing and announcing he is sponsoring a firearms class for women in Columbus. In a Facebook post, Lucas stated that the class is meant to continue his, quote, "support of women's causes and to help prevent domestic violence," unquote. Lucas's efforts don't appear to be based in research. Studies consistently show the presence of guns tends to endanger the lives of domestic violence victims. A study published in 2014 in the Annals of Internal Medicine found that women with access to firearms stood an increased chance of being victims of homicide. A 2014 study by Everytown Research found that domestic violence perpetrators were 5 times more likely to commit murder when living in a household where a gun was present.